everybody. This is John McGuire, and you're listening to the flagship episode of Pentimental, the newest show to be added to the SyncBook Radio network. I feel very honored to be able to bring a new show to you guys. I actually proposed the idea to Alan not too long ago, but the idea had been in the back of my mind. I felt like, hey, I have this content on my blog, a lot of interviews, some essays, deals with stuff like synchronicity, deals with stuff like strange, fringy science. Can we find a way to bring those together and make a show out of it? The way I want Pentimental to work, or my vision for it, is every time a new show comes on, it will be co-hosted by my brother Thomas and I. Thomas is an artist by training and just by nature. Extremely talented, a musician, and also something of a amateur shaman. And so he has a lot of wisdom based on direct experience, like McKenna likes to say. And so I think he's a tremendous asset and will bring a lot of interesting points of view to the conversations and to the guests that we bring on. As for the topics that the show will cover, I don't want to limit what we cover. I think, like everyone else, I have a lot of the same interests here. The nature of reality, what's our place in it, what is the meaning of synchronicity, what can we know about it, what can't we know about it, what's worth knowing about it. But also, all kinds of other things tie into that. So you have psychonautics, you have the philosophy of science, you have the practice of science itself. You have these questions of psychology, the subconscious, the collective unconscious, fields of intelligence. So there's a lot of things to talk about. Whenever the show is posted, I haven't set a particular schedule for it yet, but whenever we have a show, we'll have a main guest that Thomas and I will interview. It'll probably be in the SyncBook vein, as organic and freeform as possible, but with some framework. I think the most interesting things come up in the organic moments. I want to stay true to that if I can. It'll be a learning process for me, and you know, this whole thing will be a learning process for me. I don't think I'm a guru, and I don't have any snake oil to sell you. I just have some ideas about how the world works and what our place in it is, and so I like to vent my ideas on that. This is part of my catharsis, and I appreciate you all for being my psychological dumping ground, if you will, in the best way. So I appreciate any feedback. Suggest any guests you'd like to hear us talk to, any subjects in the more casual conversations that I'm going to do, which will be the other part of the show. The first 15 to 20 minutes will just be a random Skype conversation or call I've had with a friend of mine or someone from the Sync community I think is interesting. We'll just shoot the shit. I'll turn that into a mini show, and both shows should add up to an hour and a half experience for you guys. Really, it's just, why not bring on two people in 1 week? It's more interesting. Like I said, I'm kind of a newcomer. Maybe all my points of view or how I think haven't come across completely and always record. And I thank Alan and David for bringing me on there, and also Bill, Klaus, all their human energies. It's just admirable to see them work and keep things going, despite all the challenges of life. And so I feel very blessed to be part of this community. A lot of caring and also a lot of just, again, it's a democracy of ideas here. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. A lot of strange and awesome conversations. Even on the internet, which is a huge place, there's not as many places as you'd think. You know, this is something that we should all actually treasure. We appreciate everyone's support, no matter how you can show that. But just know we're doing everything we can to keep this going and to keep the shows regular and keep transparency. Transparency is so important. We take that for granted. We want to be transparent with you, and we appreciate all of you tuning in. Today's episode features a one-on-one conversation with fashion designer and Sync blogger Misty Greer, as well as a trilogue with Talat Jonathan Phillips, co-founder of Reality Sandwich and author of The Electric Jesus. Thank you.
are you?
I'm doing good. Am I coming through okay, really?
Yeah, no, you are now, for sure.
All right. I have to ask, have you been to any sensory deprivation tanks?
No, I haven't. I haven't managed to get to that yet. Traditionally, September and October are my busiest months for work, so I've just kind of been trying to keep my nose down on the ground and just get my projects finished. But yeah, no, I haven't done any of that yet.
Have you put much more thought into, like, the quantum-themed fashion show? I love that idea. And I know that's kind of just a vague idea at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, I mean, it's going to be, it's funny. It's like, it's silly to talk about it this early because, yeah, it is still at initial thought stage. But yeah, I guess I'm doing a little bit of sketching, just kind of preliminary ideas for the different characters. And I've kind of been tying in the idea of natural numbers with, like, characters, because I wanted to have, I think I told you I wanted to have 10 different characters. So it'd be, like, 0 through the number 9, and kind of laying concepts, those concepts over the pre-existing sort of, like, Alice in Wonderland quantum-type themes. The character that I've developed the most is mine so far, obviously. So I think my character is going to be called Zero and sort of like loosely based on the character of Zarathustra, because I just finished reading The Fake Zarathustra. And yeah, it should be really good. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm hoping that I could like will my hair into growing in like full gray by next summer, but I doubt that's going to happen.
Is that why you were looking into like the Twin Prime stuff?
Well, that was just a funny coincidence. Well, okay, well, the thing with primes is, like, I was joking earlier on in the summer that I found my spiritual leader when I fell in love with Transformers in Optimus Prime, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, I guess I've just been paying attention to prime numbers because of that as sort of, like, an aside. But then as I've been thinking about it more, like, I kind of like the idea that prime numbers are like only divisible by themselves and oneness. So it sort of has this like kind of spiritual connotation to it, just like in the magic of the numbers themselves, like symbolically speaking. And I think I've had like, I think this was actually my second 42 sync that linked prime numbers. Oh, the first one was a Doctor Who. So apparently the 42nd episode of like Doctor Who, he solves, like, there's some spaceship or something that's about to crash into Earth, and uh-huh. There's like locked gates or something to that effect, and he has to unlock this thing by figuring out like a sequence of happy prime numbers. And so I forgot what I was googling. Oh, I was looking up like dimensional space and stuff, so I found that like in that whole thread of thought and thought that was really cute. And then last night I bought like a bunch of different books a while ago, and one of them is like one of them is a science book, but it's like on science and mathematics, but it's like a picture book. Mm-hmm. Which is perfect for me. Anyway, I was flipping through it, and then of course was like, what's on page 42? And of course it's never ending prime. So I was like, that's just fucking perfect. I love it. So, and then I read that thing about prime twins, and I was like, I wonder who I know that would be 29, and just thought of you off chance. And of course, thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Our age is correlated.
Right, it was only appropriate, I guess. Okay, so the 42 is cool, so the meaning of life is the twin prime. So what does that mean? At least on that page, what is that telling us about twin primes? And the argument seems to be that there's this larger thing, and then there's subsets of the larger thing. So it's all, you could say the primes are like the pieces or the atoms or the indivisible units. Or
yeah.
What some people call like a very...
like they're tied together.
Yeah, there's a snooty term for it. It's called like the ontological primitive, I think. So The indivisible thing, what is it? And so in this sense, it's almost an archetype for, say, the Godhead or whatever we consider the collective unconscious,
in an effort to experience itself, what to do. It splits itself off into an infinite set. I don't even know where to draw the line between finite and infinite sometimes. Sometimes I think that whole question is pointless, because how could we know? Our experience is so limited. It's like, what is finite and what's infinite? If the finite number is so big, it might as well be infinite to me.
Exactly. Because at a certain point, it kind of jumps beyond comprehension anyway.
Right. It's like two sides of the same coin, I guess. But anyway,
yeah,
I saw it as that. It's basically communicating that very basic fundamental thing. If you do some comparative mythology, you find that repeated in a lot of cosmologies or most religious traditions in at least their most basic form. So,
yeah. It's funny because I think I told you this, but like I just listened to the David Bowman Krishnamurti dialogues on YouTube, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or something.
Right.
And they were talking about the ending of time, like those dialogues.
Yeah, David loves those.
Yeah. Have you heard them?
I've listened to bits and pieces.
But you haven't listened to the whole thing?
Not to the end of time, no. I've listened to other of their dialogues that I don't think are part of the end of time. Maybe they are, but I don't think so. But they all follow similar trajectories and, you know?
Yeah. So what was the point I was trying to get at? Oh, at some point during the conversation, I can't remember specifics. Sorry, I haven't had coffee yet. At some point they were talking about the entirety of everything and a ground level, they were trying to get to a base, or Krishnamurti said we've kind of hit a wall, and you can get a sense, I mean, sort of just what we just kind of talked about, you get a sense that you can hit a wall of comprehension and that there's a sense of something beyond that, but you can't actually grasp at it. So just for the sake of metaphor, we can say that there is a ground level of understanding and knowledge and something, and so we can call that the totality of everything. And as he was talking about that, at the same time he was talking about how the only time that there's ever conflict is with division. And so that of course reminded me of prime numbers again. And I was thinking that it was such a perfect, the Q, the actual Q letter is such a perfect symbol for what he was trying to say. Obviously a circle would be the totality of everything, everything all encompassed, or
right,
that veil around everything. And then the little dash is the little division that causes conflict. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't talking about conflict in the terms of everything that we can tangibly and physically know right now, but that's sort of what it reminded me of, if that makes any sense.
And sometimes,
I don't know. I'm not being really eloquent right now.
No, no. Honestly, Krishnamurti in a lot of ways is very nebulous, so I don't think you could ever attach too much dogmatic meaning to anything he says. I think he's very flexible, and I don't know. You got to take it with a grain of salt, I guess. But but that's not to deride him or anything. It's just
to say
that's his mode of thinking and communicating and so on.
Yeah, exactly.
And interestingly enough, of course, there's a David Bohm connection, and David Bohm is the guy that basically formulated the idea of the quantum potential, and that's what the name of my blog is based on. And it's actually represented by Q in his earliest equations. Later, it took on a different symbol in the mathematics, but initially quantum potential was Q, right, in the equations. And, and it is that thing. You could argue it's the event horizon of what's perceivable in our reality as humans, or as ego-centric bundles of consciousness that transcend.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. So it's the oneness, which is the circle and the entirety of everything, divided by I, or the slash, which is the ego. So, does that make sense?
Yeah. That's pretty brilliant, actually. That makes a lot of sense. Just on a intuitive level, right?
Yeah.
And a fun part about the Krishnamurti dialogues, they follow their a very strange rhythm. And so just getting acclimated to that and seeing how a conversation can carry out, two people struggling to understand each other. which yeah. I often see happening in those conversations, but yeah. it's there's an honest and heartfelt desire to explore. So
yeah.
no one's getting frustrated.
That's important. I mean, like, intention is definitely the most important part and goes a long way, I think.
Yeah.
And communicating things maybe on a subtle level too.
Yeah. And this idea of division, okay, yeah, it definitely creates problems. And it's...
Well, it's, I mean...
But it's not, you know, we need that.
The problem is, like... Sorry, go ahead.
No. I think I know where you're going to go with that. What I'm trying to say is that everything is a double-edged sword, right? So
yeah.
if you buy too much into collectivism or you buy too much into, like, rugged individualism, what do you get? It's just, like, extremism.
And yeah.
You have to be in the Goldilocks zone, right in the middle.
Yeah. I think that's just, like, being a good human, like, being a good critical thinker. Like, you have to be able to detach yourself from most things to be able to sort of look at it analytically. I can relate to that. Like, I mean, I definitely have a tendency to play devil's advocate a lot, but...
I can't help. It's like almost a balancing out of the universe, right? If you hear
yeah,
one thing...
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, it's almost like your responsibility is, I guess, a cosmic citizen or something to preserve the yin-yang. It's an impulse, you
cosmic
know?
Cosmic citizen, good human, yeah.
Because, I don't know, I feel like that impulse, it's generated internally through mechanical things, but there's also this etheric flow through people that is a creative thing that almost, it doesn't set us apart, it doesn't give us a right to rape and pillage the earth or anything, but... As a species, it makes us different, so I think
yeah.
it's silly to reject the illogical side of ourselves, or whatever you want to call it, the synchronistic side of ourselves, or that way of knowing the world. It can't, it can't just
totally.
Be, life isn't carried out in a lab. It's like, you can't deny life or experience just because all the conditions aren't controlled for, so that's kind of the society the Western world finds itself in, I think, just so mechanized.
Yeah, definitely.
Even the point of art is questioned. And what is publicized as art is, you know, it's not even my favorite. Like, a lot of postmodern stuff is just kind of, I don't know. It's so apathetic in spirit that I can't get behind it. I love, if that makes any sense, whereas yeah, something like...
It yeah. totally does, yeah. yeah, I understand what you're saying. We were at essentially Maslow's Modern Art Museum, and it was just so nihilistic and bleak and, like, self-serving and, yeah, apathy, I guess is the best word, but also just seemed like, well, I don't know. Anyway, I walked out of there, I was just, like, depressed as fuck. I'm like, this is horrible. And when I got home, everyone was like, tell me about your trip. Tell me about all the art you've seen. Tell me about all the food you've eaten. I'm like, yeah, okay, all I wanted to do is make videos of, like, bubbles and really beautiful, like, horribly beautiful, cliched, nice things, because it just seems like there's a lack of heart in a lot of things nowadays. Like, everyone wants to be really cynical.
That's the path to being cool, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't know, it's exhausting. It's ironic coming from me, because all my life I've been sort of drawn towards more, like, dark, macabre, nihilistic things, but I don't know. I mean, like, I think that's just served as a tool to sort of get me through life in general and the things that I've been through. But you have to acknowledge your inner light just as much as the darkness. Like, you have to pay homage to both, right? So on one hand, it's like, I don't know, it seems so heavy-handed. And, like, there's a delicate way to go about expressing those things, too, that I think can be really beautiful and, like, enchanting. But, yeah, I don't know, for me it's important to pay homage to the other side too.
Yeah.
And sort of where all my, like, childlike playfulness kind of comes out, which I think is, you know, it's important.
Well, and if it's, like, to some extent true that we're kind of playing out a larger Gnostic play or whatever, archetypal play,
mm-hmm.
however far you want to take that sort of metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to wear masks sometimes, but at the same time, it's like when that mask becomes you, then you're shutting yourself off from a whole spectrum of experience. So you have to be
a
liaison.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people just don't even know that it's a mask that they're wearing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just don't have Awareness. Oh, that sounds really condescending. Horrible. I'll just shut up now.
No. Is that the danger that, okay, you're going to come off as condescending or self-righteous or something, but at the same time, like, hey, I know that self-righteousness is mentioned in the Bible like 100 times more than homosexuality. I know it's like the worst thing ever. Not that I'm a Christian or a Bible literalist or anything, but sometimes you can't deny wisdom when you see it.
Yeah.
And so I'm always on the guard of being too much of a self-righteous dick. But I also don't want to be like just patting everyone on the back and being like, oh, everything's okay. Everyone's a beautiful flower. And yes, they are. But like if we act immature, why can't we call each other out sometimes without being cruel about it or being accused of being pretentious? I don't
well,
see the
because
problem.
You have to, I mean, there's sort of this like dance you have to do with empathy, right? Like
sure.
That thing. And that a lot of people just aren't ready to absorb what you have to throw at them anyway.
It so is
kind
yeah.
of useless in that sense, you know. Yeah, they're like, there's no sense of walking up to someone and being like, hey, bro, your mask is wearing you. if they don't understand what the fuck that means or where you're coming from. Do you know what I mean?
You're right. And it sounds like you're also like projecting a bit too. It's like, okay, you're trying to get everyone else to do this when you haven't done it yourself, right? So
exactly.
There's always that danger too.
If you're on that path, there's of like self-knowledge, I guess, then you realize that there's always like infinitely more flexing you can do. I don't know. Like just when I think I'm comfortable for a second, like that is exactly when the bubble's going to pop. It's mm-hmm. usually how my experience goes.
Right.
So I'm really careful not to push people's buttons because it can be really painful.
Oh yeah. That empathy, then that ability just to relate and be able to communicate. You know, choose words carefully, but I don't know. People don't know how to use language responsibly, I guess, like you're saying. It's sticks and stones, right? But like language is so powerful. We downplay the impact of it. Like, oh, just ignore when someone says this to you or that. And yes, there's a truth to that. But also like by downplaying language, we downplay how we're manipulated, how we're misled, or how we trick ourselves, you know, how we're trapped by our own language. Why isn't that talked about? It's like such
an
important
subject.
That's
a really good point, and I completely agree with you.
It starts with education too. And I don't know. Our society is just fucked up. I don't know what else to say about it. And it's fun to, or it's
it
important.
Isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
it's important to incubate these other memes. I don't know. I just wish there wasn't the ridicule and the fear of ridicule.
Yeah. I mean, I always just try to be what I want to see in the world. So yeah, I don't know. I try not to be a judgmental dick, and I try to be the thing is, people are going to find you too. So like, going back to subtle communication, I think that people pop up in your life for a reason. So for me, I'm always kind of aware of who I'm spending energetic time on
mm-hmm.
and like what that means in terms of teaching mm-hmm. relationships. You know,
because right.
everyone is everyone else's teacher. Like, I have a lot of people, like, in my life that look up to me and for various different reasons, and I feel, like, constantly blessed about that. But just as much so, like, I'm always looking for things to learn from other people, too. So, I don't know, it's a two-way street, you know? You can't just be like, oh, well, this person's in my life because obviously they need, like, me to guide them through something or, like, help them find some knowledge
right.
or something. Like, it's like the fact that they're already there is enough. You can't really question it. You have to. I don't know how we got on this. I'm just rambling now.
Well, that was the whole point of the conversation.
You just want me to babble.
Yeah, because the flip side of this show is like a more structured format, so I want both to kind of go hand in hand. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this, and that's good.
But yes, I was just saying, the fact that they're there to begin with is like enough for me. I try not to think like, I just try to see like what I can get out of any, what I'm being shown. Just try to look at what I'm being shown, I guess.
Right. Ascension through knowledge. That's a very Gnostic idea too. It's like reading the book. Synchronicity is reading nature's book in a way and like understanding okay. people in your life and also your influence because it's not just about you.
But that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah.
yeah, I guess just letting go of that sort of like egoic grasp on it and sort of just looking at it for what it is, what the dynamic is, what the relationship is, what there is to sort of like be felt out in the small spaces and also through language, like you said. I guess that's maybe where I went. Mm-hmm. If there's like subtle communication happening and people pop up in your life, then I feel like it's probably there to feel out on some vocal. I like how, right when I'm trying to explain this, I become the least eloquent of all. But like, yeah, using language, use your words to figure out existence together.
Did you see the link I sent you on Facebook?
Did you send it right now?
I sent it before we started. It's a link to this biochemist, and she muses on the nature of space-time a bit, and the fractal nature of space-time, even though her specialty is biochemistry. There's all this as above, so below kind of symbolism in her scientific work. And funny enough, I think people get a kick out of this, she's the director of the Institute of Science in Society, ISIS. And that's been, that's been like such a big thread that I'm happy that popped up again in my own work. Because I had been paying passing interest to it, and I've never pursued it myself, but it just kind of fell into my lap.
Cool.
And
yeah, that's rad.
Yeah. So you enjoyed the Tom Campbell episode, right? Did you get to listen to the whole thing? I actually haven't listened to the whole thing.
That was so epic. What do you mean you haven't listened to the whole thing? You were in conversation.
Right. Well, I try to revisit all my past conversations because I see it as an effort to get better.
I know what you mean. There's a difference between being in the moment and then going back and sort of looking at things afterwards.
Yeah.
But yeah, that episode was epic. It was really good.
I figured that would be up your alley. And have you read the Laszlo book? Or have you gotten the Laszlo book? The one about the Akashic Field? I thought I sent you the link to it a while back.
I got it, but I haven't started reading
it. Yeah, no, I mean, no rush.
Like, I'm one of those people that has, like, 5 books open at the same time, because I have ADD. So I'm trying to wrap up things that I'm finishing right now.
Yeah, I'm starting to read, like, 2 at a time.
I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, it's a very similar premise. That's the only reason I bring it up. It's not going to, like, illuminate you or anything, but it's some interesting information that
helps. It might.
No. It'll add to your enlightenment process. It might be the, who knows. But it's
I'm going to be so bright.
It's a very similar premise where, he draws on the old Akashic record idea and tries to fit that into a more quantum mechanical paradigm where he calls it an Akashic field. And it's what connects synchronicity. It's what connects psychics. It's what connects everyone to everything. It's the non-local, acausal level of reality that everyone is so befuddled by. And it is highly mysterious, but I think postulating it and just exploring it generally is something worthwhile and fun to do. And that's something Tom Campbell does. And that's something Irvin Laszlo does. And they basically say everything's information, right? And that's David Bohm too. And so all these guys are converging on a similar idea. And this is even borne out by the psychedelic experience in a lot of ways, where when people see things, whether in DMT or whatever, okay, so there's always...
Or dreams,
sure. There's all kinds of ways to participate in that, I guess, deeper level or higher level or that other level. And, there's so many correlations just between the theoretical and experience, right? That's what I'm always looking for. Yeah, ideas are cool, but are there human experiences in like a consistent enough pattern to say, oh, that actually might be what's going on in a general way without knowing all the details while acknowledging that event horizon, like we just talked about,
Right.
If that sparks anything.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I think that's interesting territory to delve into as well, obviously.
Well, before actually...
I don't know that I can speak intelligently on it.
But. No. There's nothing... Again, we're just talking about Q, right? This is just another way of talking about what you've always been talking about. Only I'm just saying in different words. So...
Yeah.
Tom said that him and another guy had come up with this idea back in whatever, the 80s or whatever. But actually, Philip K. Dick talked about it well before most people. His general framework was really impressive. I'm astounded. People, I don't think, really know just how far Dick went into scientific theory and general systems theory and particle physics. It's just reading his exegesis, it's pretty astounding, actually. And how he's trying to constantly apply that reading as his background as a science fiction writer to the experience. And that's what Tom Campbell does, and that's what a number of people do, including, like, myself. I come from that kind of, I guess, strain or, mental angle, where I try to apply that type. And that's how I comprehend things. Everyone comprehends things in different ways, right?
Right. And I probably come at it from the opposite side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like just sensing and feeling my way around in the darkness kind of thing. And then stumbling things like on the information, on the technical information or fantasy information that I need to sort of help gel my feelings and ideas, I guess.
There's a phenomenon. You see it in termites. You see it in, I think, ants and other kind of large. Take a bird's eye view of any ecosystem or something. You see this kind of almost aimless wandering that produces all this coherent order. And it's hard for us to take a bird's eye view of human society, right? And we're not ants. We're not automaton. I always fight that analogy, and I'm not trying to draw that. I'm saying that actually, though, nature builds through making just pointless, just wandering everywhere. It just wanders. So, like, as wanderers, as sink heads or whatever, I mean, how we're more in tune with the universe.
Are you calling me an aimless ant?
I know. That's why I hesitated at first to use the analogy, because it's kind of, it's not flattering.
I'd be a mouse instead of an ant.
Well, sure. Like I said, if you pull, zoom out of any ecology or any kind of, like, you can see it. But everything is done in different ways. Like, humans have this idea of free will, but we're taking cues from nature and then deciding to act on them or not. So there's this interplay between determinism and free will.
We are taking cues from nature.
Sure. And isn't all great art or all great pursuits a reflection on that? Is, like, reading into nature and putting to canvas or to paper or whatever your medium is, you know, how you perceive the world and what the world is telling you. It's an ongoing dialogue, kind of, whatever you're producing.
Definitely. 100%. I was also just making a joke on the wordplay of cue and cues.
Oh. and just, I like
talking. Your choice of words is cute. Oh.
I'll take it. And I, you know, I like talking about art generally sometimes. It's not a conversation I get to have too often, but I just read this guy not too long ago, Curtis White, called The Science Delusion. And it's not so much a polemic against science as it is against a way of doing science, which is, let's put aside the creative aspect of people. All you are your chemical emotions in your brain, right? So what is creativity other than just kind of some escapism from animal robot life? And
or mimicry.
Yes.
On some subtle level.
Sure. And he's just saying that, you know, by rejecting art, that a society, you know, art at its best and most fundamental level is meant to challenge paradigms, okay? And, like, shake people up. And that's definitely what your art does, like, undoubtedly.
Me?
Yes, of course. I hope you think that. And it's really,
I don't know if that's the case.
Well, how do you see it? How do you see your own art, I guess?
It's just weird being in it, I guess, versus being outside of it. That's good to hear. I'll take that compliment. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I'll just give you my honest opinion. I think our world is becoming more and more standardized.
I'm used to myself, so.
Yeah. Well, we all take ourselves for granted, right? And we all disrespect ourselves in all kinds of ways. And we're different things to different people.
Yeah.
But I'll just say, as on a symbolic level, I think we're moving towards more and more standardization. So you have to fit, if you want to, like, make it in whatever, the art world or the movie industry or the radio industry, you have to fit a certain mold and do a certain thing. And by just simply bucking the trend and appealing to a realm of human psychology that is, you know, very synchronistic, very trickster-like, it's playful. Shouldn't that be what a society is built around, is play and, like, fostering creativity?
And I like to play.
And yeah.
Yeah, I would live in that society.
So what your work represents and what Synchro Mystic's work represents, and anyone who explores these subjects in their own way, I think it represents a challenge to a way of thinking and a psychology that is, you know, in a lot of ways doing us in, you know, we're our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But, so this helps and it's needed. And just like the Dadaist, which you brought to my attention and has been on my mind since, it's that same strain of psychology. It's like, hey, let's start doing things. Let's invert some things or co-opt some images and yeah,
crazy and chaotic and just play with things and throw things on its head.
Yeah, it's like ad busters.
I love that shit.
Only way better. So why don't we wrap up there? This is a perfect length because I don't want it to go super long. I think 30 minutes is about perfect. So
perfect.
This is ideal and we got a lot of good stuff. Thank you for just being a part of this, I guess.
Yeah, anytime, John.